Had an hour with Brother McCracken, and I can really sincerely say on behalf of the church, we are blessed to have Brother McCracken and his wife with us today. Brother Dave McCracken has been in evangelism for some time, but his full-time ministry started on staff at a church and in the pastorate, where I believe a total of 20 years between the two of those positions. He was working in the church as either staff or pastor, and then God called him into evangelism, and he's been traveling the country. I first heard Brother McCracken out in California when I was at a men's conference, and I was confronted with a very different style than perhaps what I've heard before, especially being up north. I've heard southern preachers, and he didn't fit that profile. It wasn't a screamer, just a very unique personality, and I connected with him. He won me over, though, as soon as I heard him say this word, a very deep theological word. He said, "Crybaby." At that point, I said, if a preacher can call his audience crybabies, I love this guy. We'll bring him in. So now he was preaching to men. And you who know me know that I think men require some leadership, some backbone, and need to be so much more than what they are nowadays. And that's why I can be kind of tough on guys. And Brother McCracken confronted, I think there were 700 men there, and he called us crybabies over and over. And I thought, this man is a man for our church. Now, are you going to use that word today? Is it in your notes? You have no, you said baby the last hour, so I got excited. I thought maybe it will come out today, but I really respected his approach to the scriptures and his ability to bring it to the men. And so I felt he'd be a help to you. We've flown him and his wife Nancy up here. He's just preaching today. Usually he does meetings either bi-week or the whole week. And so we've got them just for today, so hopefully we'll give you a good day while you're here. They're going to see the falls, I think, in some other areas. Since this is the first time in upstate New York, they have two daughters, have two grandchildren, I believe, and we'll look forward to getting to know you two throughout the day and hopefully establish a long-term partnership in the Lord. So Brother McCracken, come preach.
Thank you, Pastor Cable. Thank you very much. All right. Well, my wife, Nancy, if you go ahead and stand, Nancy, short body your hairdo. Stand up there. Okay. My wife Nancy and I, this month, in just a few days, we'll be married 42 years. And thankful that she's hung in here with me, and it's been a blessing. And we're thrilled. I have privilege to be here. I'm grateful that Pastor would allow me to come. And hopefully, I do want to encourage you to come back tonight. I've been in a Baptist church my entire life. My dad was my pastor, and I'm well aware that Sunday morning attendance is usually not the same as Sunday night. I'm aware of that, but today is different. You have a guest. And I will tell you in a little bit what my subject will be tonight. But it's actually a continuation of what I'm going to do this morning, but I'll give you a thought of what the subject will be tonight. Hopefully you'll want to be part of that. But anyway, I'm grateful to be here. So if you got a ribbon thingy, Bob, let's do this first. If you got one of these markers in your Bible, if you got a ribbon, would you put it in the book of Romans, please? Romans chapter 5. And some people ask me, why do you call it Romans? And I say, why do you not call it Romans? So anyway, Romans chapter 5, if you put a marker there, then go back to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. So put a marker in Romans chapter 5. I will tell you this. In a little while, when I say, would you turn to Romans 5, you've got your marker already there. When I say, let's turn to Romans chapter 5, You will know this. It's almost over. He's almost finished. Now, you're going to think, when is he going to stop? When I say Romans 5, you can let your breath out and go, okay, finally, he's going to stop here. So that gives you a good indicator of how long you got to hang on there. Just keep hanging on until we get to Romans 5. Matthew chapter 11. If you're able, I've been doing this for over 30 years. I've asked people to stand. If you're able, would you stand with me, please? I ask people to stand to remind us that we should give reverence We should give honor to the eternal, infallible, inerrant, it is the perfect, preserved word of the living God is why I ask people to stand. It's not required in the Bible. I just take advantage and opportunity to remind us we have God's holy word. There's some famous verses and words in Matthew chapter 11. It's the last three verses, 28, 29, and 30. In red letters, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I'd like to pray with you, please. Our great God, I come to you again. I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for another Lord's Day that we can assemble and we can gather on purpose to glorify and honor and worship you. I pray that today you would be glorified. So I ask you for help. I ask for unction and power and utterance to get across your truth. Then I pray every one of us have ears to hear, hearts that are open, and that we're willing for you to speak to us. For us that know you, I pray you remind us and encourage us and bless today that we would be benefited by this time in your word. And then for those in the room that are not yet born again, they're not forgiven of their sin, I beg you to touch their heart. Convince them of their sin, of their need to be forgiven. I pray they'd understand that today, and even today might be the day that they would trust you and receive your forgiveness. So thank you for what we've already enjoyed, and thank you for what you're about to do. And it's in the mighty and holy name of your only begotten Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you leave your Bible open here, we'll do a little work in a little bit as we go through here. One of the most wonderful, or one of the wonderful promises that Jesus would ever give, that he would tell us and offer us in the Scripture, is that he promises rest. He says, "I will give you rest to all those who are tired of toiling." All of those that are under a heavy burden, Jesus says, "I'll give you rest." I was thinking about that. Just about everybody we know needs rest of some kind or another. People are tired of their job. Some people are tired of their house. Some are tired of their boss. Some people are tired of their car. Some people are tired of their family. It's a bummer when some are tired of their parents. Some are tired of their husband. So we could say some are tired of their wife. Some of us get tired of our kids. But some people are tired of sickness, tired of pain, tired of hurting. Some are tired of school. Some people are tired of nothing to do. Tired of being tired. You know, when we talk about that, this does not include all the people and the idea of people that are tired in religion. I'm tired of all the work that you need to do or to be a good servant. Some people are tired of that. Then some people feel compelled to do all this work and activity so they will get to go to heaven. You know, there are multitudes of people that believe with all their hearts that there are special ceremonies There are special activities that they must be involved in if they're going to please their God. I can do a little parenthesis here. In our churches too, in Baptist churches, there are people that feel like, I'm just doing a parenthesis, okay? But there are people that feel like, well, if I'm going to make God happy, I got to do this. If I'm going to get the smile of God, I got to do this. And they have their to-do list and their work list to get the smile of God. Since you brought it up, I'll just go ahead and say this. You and I don't get to do things to get the smile of God. The smile of God is only because of His grace. It's not because we did something good. No, you're not catching it, some of you. The Bible says all your goodnesses, or it uses this word, righteousnesses, they're useless. Amen. They're filthy rags. So even amongst us, if we're not careful, we think there's a lot of to-do lists that we got to do to get the smile and the favor of God. I'm telling you, our obedience to Him and our servitude to Him is not to get His smile and His grace. It's just because we love Him. Amen. All right. So thank you for saying amen. I get to move on. All right. But there are multitudes. In fact, there are millions of people that have gods of their own making, at least of their own traditions, that demand much cumbersome labor so they can make their God happy. The goal for them is to live good enough, abide by all the rules possible, so they can hopefully have some protection down here on earth, and then, you know, have a reasonably good life after this one's over. In this text, Jesus is speaking to a crowd of Jewish people. These Jewish people are overloaded with traditions and ceremony and rules of service. The rabbi, the rabbinical teachings have become so massive and so demanding and all-encompassing that they prescribe standards and formulas for virtually every human activity. These Jewish rabbis have piled it on them. It was all but impossible to learn the traditions and rules that the rabbis have given, and it was completely impossible to keep these rules and regulations. Jesus described them. You don't need to turn there, but listen to Matthew 23, what Jesus said. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. See what Jesus is saying? The scribes and Pharisees are loading this on you. They've got more. Now, wait a minute. Let's just do this. Some of you would be aware of this. The law, the Pentateuch, was written by God through Moses. And let's just pretend it's this thick. That's how thick the law is. Well, by the time you got to Jesus' day, the rabbis, the Pharisees, and scribes started adding all their ideas and their rules. And now you got a book this thick. Is everybody with me? And they laid them on them, and Jesus says they're grievous to be borne, and they won't even move it. In the book of Acts, Peter was preaching about this very same thing in Acts 15, and he was talking about how that these people out of Judaism or Israeli Hebrew people, that when they came over to Christ, to salvation, to Christianity, that the Judaizers were trying to add the same kind of burden to Christianity. And here's what Peter says. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Can somebody say amen? He says, hey, what are you doing? You're out of your mind. You Jewish people know you couldn't keep it over there. And when you come over here to Christianity, you want people to start keeping all the to-do list. He said, that is not the purpose of Christianity here, and that's not how Christianity is lived out. He said, we can't do that. It's impossible. We already know that. And so here in this text, Jesus is offering rest. He offers rest, and I love this, and he also gives the invitation to receive the rest. I love it. I love how it starts. One simple little word in our English language, four letters. Come. Jesus says, come. You know, one of the things that I visually catch from that, look up here, when Jesus says, come, one of the visuals that I catch, one of the things that I think that's very precious about this, at the very, very beginning, when Jesus says these four letters, come, that we see his grace. What do you mean that we see his grace? Well, grace is an undeserved gift. If you deserve it, it's not grace. And so if you don't deserve it, it's called grace. And Jesus, at the very outset, shows us and offers his grace because he says, come. You say, well, how does that show grace? Because none of us deserve the opportunity to come to Jesus. No. We're all sinners. We were born sinners. Somebody say amen. We're absolutely sinners. There's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Now watch. There wasn't something that we were doing down here that Jesus goes, oh, you guys are awesome. Come on. There was nothing that we were doing. In fact, we weren't after him. We weren't seeking after him. There's none that seeketh after God. We were all turned to our own way. We wanted our own ideas, our own philosophy, the way we think it ought to be done. And Jesus says, hey, I'm overlooking all that. Come. You don't deserve my invitation, but I'm giving it to you. Come. I love it. The very, very beginning. The Creator, the Lord Jesus, shows his grace. I love this too. Come. Good night, that's a big word. You know that he's not excluding anyone? There's no one that he's saying, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean you. Oh no. The invitation is open to everyone. Come. Jeremiah says it like this. Call unto me and I will answer thee. In the book of Romans, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In John 3, our famous verse of 16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the book of John 6:37, it says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm telling you, the invitation is for everybody. Amen. There's no one too wicked that's not invited. You're invited to. You're not too far gone. No, come. Everybody's invited. It doesn't matter. You're not too religious. Well, I'm already religious. No. Jesus says, come. I love it that every human is invited to this invitation Jesus gives. Come. Praise his name. C.H. Spurgeon said that one of Jesus' favorite words was come. 318 times come is in the first four books of the New Testament in the gospel. Nearly 30 times he says, come unto me or to me. Jesus invites us to come. I love that this is also included in there. Everybody's invited, but then he tells us who to come to. Come. It's in red letters. Come unto me. The invitation is to the Lord Jesus Christ. The invitation is not to Moses. It's not to Allah. It's not to Muhammad. It's not to Buddha or Confucius. The invitation is not to a church. It's not to a dogma. It's not to a doctrine. It's not to a catechism. It's not to a religious exercise. It is to a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Come unto me. I love it like this in the book of Acts. It says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus. Amen. It's by Jesus. That's the only way to have salvation. And he says, come unto me. In John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus said in 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 Timothy, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what our politically correct society says. I don't care what all the other religions say. I don't care how upset people get with me or with us. There's only one way to get to heaven, and his name is Jesus. Amen. The person of Jesus Christ. When I was a child, it was often said, my dad was my preacher, but it was often said, have you had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I don't know that it said as much in this decade or these past two decades as it was back then, but it was often because it is a personal relationship with a person, and his name is Jesus. Praise his name. In 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The only approach, the only way is through Jesus. And Jesus invites us, come. Mercy. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but I'm having a good time. Watch it. When he says come, you know what that automatically indicates? Watch. Come. It indicates that a person would have faith if they're going to come to Jesus. Does that make sense to you? Because there's no reason to come if you don't believe it. Is everybody with me? You're not going to turn to Jesus Christ. You're not going to come to him if you go, well, I don't know if this is real or not, but okay. No, when he says come, the only reason that you would turn toward Jesus or come to him is because you believe that he will do what he said he would do. He would give you rest. He'll provide for you what your need is. And so we learned of you that weren't here for the Sunday school time, but we've learned that the only way to come to Jesus is by faith. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's only by faith that we have access to him. And so the only reason a person would come to Jesus is because they believe him. Hallelujah. Let me show you something else the word come indicates. When you come to him, it indicates faith, but it also indicates repentance. What do you mean? Well, if you're going to come to Jesus, that means you're going to leave where you were, leave what you were doing. You're going to turn from what you did believe. You're going to turn from what you did practice. Is everybody with me? You're going to turn from that to Jesus. And the Bible makes it clear that repentance is an important part of salvation. Repentance is a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. The person that comes to Jesus are leaving where they were, and they're going to now go or come to Jesus Christ. Mercy. You're no longer locked into the way that you've gone in the past. Now you are willing, watch. Now you're willing to leave what you used to practice, what you used to believe. See, your traditions are not going to get you to heaven. Your church is not going to get you to heaven. Your doctrine, your catechisms, your discipleship, all those, they don't get you to heaven. Only a person does, and his name is Jesus. And when you've got to get to the place where you're willing to leave what your traditions are, what your religion is, what your ideology is, what your own thoughts are, you leave that and say, okay, Jesus, I'm coming to you. Amen? If a person is going to do that, if they're going to accept the invitation, it means that they're going to believe the invitator. That's a good word, isn't it? I like that word. They're going to believe the invitator, and they're going to leave what their past and what they used to practice. Amen? Watch this, watch. It means there would be a submission. You're not getting it. It means there would be a surrender that he's right and all this wasn't. You're missing it. Oh, mercy. There are so many people who go, well, I think we are right. I think we're fine. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing. We got Jesus and we've got church. We're religious. We're doing our stuff. Salvation is submission. It's surrender to do it his way, not our way. And listen, I almost said a crybaby. I'm not going to. But if you're being a big baby about this and then you got to do it your own way, you're missing out on what Jesus said. It's in red letters. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man come to the Father but by me. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Well, I just don't think it ought to be that strict. Well, your problem is you don't realize who the one is saying it. Because you're just like a human, and he's like God. You're making a boo-boo. Amen. So when Jesus invites us to come, it indicates faith, it indicates repentance, it indicates submission. You must be willing to come to Jesus. I don't know if you noticed or not, but he does kind of give a characteristic of those who he's inviting. It says it in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying they are burdened down. One of the commentators said it like this. It's for those who are under a load of so much ceremony and tradition that they are empty and they are burdened underneath an impossible yoke. Remember what Peter said? That's a yoke you're trying to put on us that neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. He said, if you're under this burden, this yoke, that you're trying to do your Christianity, you're trying to behave in a certain way, you're trying to live good enough, you hope your good outweighs your bad and you'll get to go to heaven. Jesus said, no. If you're burdened down with that kind of weight, he said, come to me. Woo, I'll give you rest. You won't be burdened anymore. Since we're talking about it, I told you, I'll tell you in a little while what I'm going to preach tonight. He says, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. I'll give you rest. So tonight, if you'll come back, I'm going to preach about this. Getting rest with a yoke. Now, some of you have no idea what a yoke is for. So I'll just tell you, it's like for work. But anyway, come back tonight, and I'm going to tell you how to get rest. Oh, mercy. You got to come. It's really a good sermon tonight. Today, it's okay this morning, but tonight is a good one. Okay, please come back. But he says here that if you're burdened down, if you stretch out the definition of the word labor through the language and through dictionary, it carries the idea of working to the point of exhaustion. See, Jesus invites anyone who is exhausted from trying to find God. For anyone that's trying to please God, if you're exhausted, he said, come to me. I'll give you rest. You don't have to do this on your own. In fact, you cannot do it on your own. Somebody say amen. It's impossible. Since we got a parenthesis here, or since I'm going to put a parenthesis here, let me say this to you. You that are believers, and Christianity is just too hard for you. You that are believers this morning, you're sitting in church, you're going, they just have way too many requirements. They expect too much. They like want me to come back at night too. In the middle of the week, who's got time for that? I just don't have time to read my Bible that much. Is anybody hearing me? If Christianity has become a burden to you, you think that your behavior gets the smile of God. No, we behave like this because we love Him. His grace is what gives us the smile of God. Amen. Our righteousness, all our dues, don't get it. That's a whole nother sermon. I don't have time for that. I'm not preaching that one tonight either. But anyway, we can't do enough to get God's smile. Amen? But He's saying, if you're a believer and you're underneath this burden, He's telling you, hey, you got the wrong yoke. I'll give you rest. Now, if you're not a believer and you're trying to please God, you're trying to do all the ceremonies and the rituals, you're trying to keep all the traditions, He's saying, no, come to Me. I will give you rest. See, the person that comes to Jesus, you got to get this. The person that comes to Jesus realizes their need. If you don't need Jesus, you're not coming. If you think you're okie dokie, you don't care. You don't worry about life after life. You don't worry about eternity. You don't worry about meeting the Creator someday. If you don't need Him, no. The people that come to Jesus, they're the ones that need Him, and they are in desperation, saying, I can't get there on my own. I can't do enough to get there. Jesus, I believe You. Would You give me rest? Here's a synonym for rest. Would You give me peace? Here's a synonym for peace. Would You give me salvation? Would You give me forgiveness? We use the term, would You give me eternal life? Amen? Amen. So if you'll turn to Romans chapter 5, I'll show you something. Isn't that exciting, though? When you know that's the last verse, boom, it's almost over. That's so exciting. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Let me show it to you. Therefore, being justified. Justified means you have right standing with God. It means you have forgiveness. Therefore, being justified by, say that word out loud, folks. Amen. That's the only way you can be justified. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to get peace, watch, the only way to get rest is through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have peace with God this morning, if you don't know in your soul that you have peace with God, if you just hope you have peace, I think I have peace, I'm trying to make it, I think I'm okay. Friend, the Bible makes it very, very plain that we can know that we have peace. We can know that we have rest. We know we have forgiveness. The only way you can have forgiveness, the only way you can have peace, the only way you can have rest is through our Lord Jesus Christ. But you got to be willing to understand. You got to be desperate. You need forgiveness. You got to get to the place where you're honest, where you are willing to surrender to His way, not your way. You might have to turn away from everything you've ever been taught, everything you've ever practiced, and say, you know, that's not giving me rest. That's not giving me peace. Jesus, I believe You. Would You please forgive me? Would You come into my life? Save me? Would You give me that rest, Jesus? I surrender to You. If you've not done that this morning, that's one of the big reasons you're here. God has worked out a timetable in your life to have you in this place. where you could be confronted with somebody up here talking to you about getting rest or getting peace. And God has chosen today to touch your heart. You just have to be honest. You go, what do I got to do? Be honest. That you know that you don't have peace and you want it. And today, we can help you know for sure you have peace. You say, what do I have to do? We're going to have to trust Jesus, turn to Him. He said, well, I'm not sure how to do that. That's why we have an invitation. We're going to invite you to come. We're not going to embarrass you. You don't have to give a speech. But if you let us, we'll show you out of the Bible how you can know you have peace with God. Would you let us help you do that? So I don't want to go up in front of everybody. Well, this morning, that's how we're inviting you. You say, well, do I have to? No, you can trust Christ right there. It's possible. But if you do trust Christ, you'll want to follow Him and surrender to Him. And that's when it becomes unimportant who's watching or who sees you. You say, hey, I just trusted Christ. I want to tell you that I've done that. And that's what we do the invitation for. You believers this morning? Is tonight's service at 6 o'clock a burden to you? Is it something that you go, well, I don't do that. Well, wouldn't you want to? I'm just talking about being yoked up with Jesus. I mean, if you're in the yoke with Jesus, I wonder if His yoke would come here. I think believers need to recommit their heart, saying, Christ, I want to be with You. I'm going to ask you to stand. Thank you for listening. Thank you very much.